welcome to the Tapping World Summit 2015. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this interview, you agree to the terms located at thetappingsolution.com/disclaimer. We hope this interview helps you become a healthier and a happier you. Few things can feel as heart-wrenching as seeing our child or a child that we love suffer from anxiety. This anxiety can lead to a range of different challenges like behavioral problems or insomnia and even physical symptoms like stomach aches. So today, you'll learn how tapping can help and how children and parents all over the world have already incorporated tapping to experience emotional and physical benefits. To teach us how we can experience those same results, we are speaking to Dr. Kim Duramo from drkimduramo.com. She is a board certified in emergency medicine and currently practices in the Boston area. She's also trained in osteopathic medicine, a field of medicine that honors mind-body unity and the body's ability to heal itself. Dr. Duramo served as assistant professor of clinical medicine at the DeBusk College of Osteopathic Medicine in Tennessee. She continues to teach medical students at the University of New England College of Osteopathic Medicine, where she attended medical school and completed a fellowship in anatomy and osteopathic medicine. She is now the co-founder and CEO of The Thrive Doctors and author of 10 Tips to Thriving, A Doctor's Guide to Accessing Full Vitality. I am thrilled that she is with us covering this really important topic. Welcome, Dr. Duramo.
Thank you so much for having me, Jessica. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited. I know that we're going to have a great time and it's going to be incredibly insightful. I need to start with the question that's probably on everybody's mind. You are a traditionally trained doctor. Parents bring you their children when they're dealing with physical challenges. So how is it that tapping has become something that you're so passionate about, and how have you begun to incorporate it into your own practice?
Well, one of the things with kids especially is they will tend to somatize their emotions. So if they're having a challenge at school or they're having some kind of, stress, they won't necessarily discuss it at the level of their emotions. And part of that is because we've sort of trained, you know, it's part of our society that we kind of don't go there. And kids are really, really sensitive. So they're feeling lots of emotions, they're experiencing all kinds of different things, but their body will begin to exhibit the symptoms of that. So the way the kids will present is with physical symptoms like a headache or a stomach ache or my leg hurts or recurrent things that aren't necessarily getting better the way we would expect them to medically. And when we find that there's no underlying medical cause, tapping is the number one best thing that I've found to use with kids. They're extremely intuitive with it, so they'll kind of naturally understand how to apply it and how to use it on their own, which is unlike some adults where they have to kind of be trained to begin to accept this and adapt it. Kids are really natural with this. So I've had immense success in using this with kids who aren't really following the, you know, just getting right better right away with traditional medicine.
Right. When we think about stress and anxiety, we usually think about adults. You know, we look at someone's childhood or we look at children and we think that they're carefree. They don't have the same responsibilities that we do. Do you find that stress and anxiety has become a really big issue for children?
It's a way of life. They've actually adapted to our whole way of being. So if adults are living in a society where stress and being busy and being super tied up all the time is the norm, kids are really, really sensitive and their systems entrain to that, meaning they grow and they develop and they learn and they incorporate incorporate that according to the surroundings that they're in. So if they're in an environment, which, you know, we kind of all are, it's our society, but even in a household where the parents are working a lot and trying to make a better life for their kids, if they're stressed, the kids will pick up on that stress. Secondly, the kids are at school and they're experiencing a ton of tension and social pressures. And, you know, they have a lot of work that they need to do for school. And there's a lot of expectations with succeeding and achieving and winning in sports and doing all kinds of different activities. They end up really overloaded. And kids are incredibly resilient. So they'll kind of go with it and go with it and go with it. But eventually their bodies can really break down. So they'll present with different kinds of symptoms or behavioral issues. And parents will, you know, take them to the doctor. But a lot of times these are not medical issues. They're stress-related issues that the kids are exhibiting on a physical level.
Mm. And how amazing that we're able to use this technique with children so that they begin to break that pattern early on of that, of feeling like anxiety is just a part of life. Now we're giving them a way that they can handle that anxiety and move through and really have resilience.
You know, they need tools. They need tools to sort of awaken their body, to move energy in their body, to free it up so that they can be healthy, they can develop normally, and they can get back to the natural state of freedom and joy and self-expression. And yeah, there's ups and downs of life and how we deal with challenges, but to do that in an open and expansive way instead of in a contracted and stressed way. Kids really need us to teach them to release stress and to connect in their body.
They really do. And I've just seen miracles happen with the Tapping Solution Foundation. You know, we've done a lot of work in Rwanda and also in our community of Newtown. And it's just incredible, like you said, how easy it is for kids to embrace this and get the results. So we're going to be sharing a lot of stories, you know, within this time together, but I want to jump in and begin to talk about how to begin tapping with children. You know, what are some of the things that we really need to know as we get started?
Well, the way I do it with my patients, Jessica, and this is a great way to do it with kids, when I'm conversing and kind of getting to what's going on with you, what are the challenges, what are you experiencing, people will speak in these three different categories. So I kind of put them at the top of my page when I begin tapping, and then I'll list things under the three categories. So they're either physical, emotional, or mental. They're having physical symptoms. I have a stomach ache, my knee hurts, my head hurts. And they'll tell you things in physical terms. So, you know, even with adults, it might be, oh, my house is just such a mess. That's part of their physical world. And then the second one is emotions. Kids don't tend to communicate in terms of emotions. And it's not because it's not natural to them. It's because we've trained them not to go there and not to let people into that world. It's just kind of the way the society is. And kids are so perceptive. They learn really fast. So this is the second thing that will begin to open up during the tapping. Things like, I'm scared when I go to school, or I'm worried what people are saying about me, or I'm, you know, worried about all the homework I have to do and afraid that I'm going to fail. Or, you know, there can be anything going on that might seem even irrational, like concern about sports performance if they're doing really well. And then the third category is the thoughts, memories, beliefs, and experience. This is the mental. And that's when kids will say, you know, nobody likes me, or I just have too much homework, or, you know, things aren't okay, I have to work really hard, or just their ideas about things. Maybe memories, when I went to the party and everyone laughed at me. Those experiences can seem trivial because in the adult world, you think, oh, it's only one time and it was such a silly incident. But for a kid, being laughed at or being the center of attention in that way can be a lifelong stressor that gets locked in the body and literally shuts them down to opening and communicating and expressing who they really are. And I have an interesting case about that we'll talk about in a minute, but kids can lock those memories into their experience and then they kind of live it over and over and again without really realizing that, you know, they can just let that go and that that isn't really what happened, you know. So even if, you know, my mother yelled at me and told me I was stupid, you know, it could be some little tiny offhanded thing like, why would you do something like that? But to a kid, they lock that into their system as, there's something wrong with me. And they actually shut down just a little bit more and a little bit more every time. So you can get into the thoughts and experiences, and we'll talk about that as well. So that's physical, emotional, and mental.
Right. And we're seeing how this is true within this entire summit, because as I'm interviewing different experts about money challenges or relationship challenges, so many of the challenges that we face today really stem back from experiences that happened in our childhood. So what an amazing thing to be able to handle those experiences as they happen.
And if you're treating a child when they're that young, you know, there's a saying in osteopathic medicine that as the twig is bent, so the tree grows. And if we're treating kids, you know, we do manipulative medicine and structural treatment. If you treat a child structurally, osteopathically, it's like decades and decades and decades and of problems they won't have, like migraine headaches in their 20s and 30s or infertilities in their 30s. You don't realize how beneficial it is, but it's incredibly beneficial to treat a child and help them to unwind these things early.
Absolutely. And as we begin to learn about how to use tapping in our own lives, you know, there's a lot of talk about getting clear about what the problem is and honoring how we feel. Now, for children, it sometimes can be hard for them to articulate what they're feeling. I mean, you know, I see it with my nephew. Sometimes they're so upset. They're so overwhelmed by a feeling, and you're trying to have them explain to you what happened, and you don't really know what's going on with them because they're having trouble, say, using the same words that we might use to describe an issue. So can tapping still be effective if they can't articulate exactly what's wrong?
There's two great ways to get a kid to open up and really unwind all of this stuff. So yes, the first one you got to remember is that kids are really, really sensitive to our energy. So if I'm in a state of stress, and I've learned this with my niece, she's 13 and she's incredibly sensitive. But if I'm in a state of stress or I'm frustrated with her, like, hey, come on, just tell me. I don't get it. Just tell me what's wrong. Why are you so upset about that? You can feel in my voice, it's not inviting, it's not compassionate or empathetic. It's not going to open her, and she will shut down like nobody's business, and there's like no getting through that wall. So kids are really sensitive, and so the first thing I'm going to teach the parents here is how to address your own anxiety level. And the second thing is that kids, you need to meet the child where they are. So even if it seems completely irrational that they're upset about something, we need to have that connection with the reality they're experiencing. Like, it doesn't matter that, well, you'll never see those kids again anyway, or, well, those kids, they're a bunch of jerks. It doesn't matter what they think. None of that's really relevant to the child who was laughed at or ridiculed or bullied. What matters to that kid is the reality that this is my whole world. It totally matters what these kids think of me. I'm defining myself by who I am at school. So those two things, that kids are really sensitive to our energy level, and so I need to manage my anxiety before I treat my child or address my child. And number two, I need to meet that child where he or she is, not have anything to do with what I think about it rationally.
Right. So to really honor how they feel.
To honor how they feel, what they're going through, what they're saying to you as their reality. So if they begin with, well, I just have a stomach ache. And you know, like, wow, you know, every time it's a school-related activity, they have a stomach ache. You know, there's some emotional trepidation or fear that's going on socially. The child they're not conscious of that, right? Remember, we've trained them to be in the world of, you know, fact and event, and everything is on the surface, and that's the real world. So when they can't access those deeper levels of their own experience, we've got to start with what they are presenting. So, okay, we're just going to tap on the stomach ache. What does the stomach ache feel like? Where is it in your body? If it had a color, what color would it be? Just so that I can begin to tap on what they are, telling me what they are, able to communicate state. And then in the rounds of tapping, they will go deeper, because once you kind of relax the body around the physical symptoms, they will have a deeper experience of what's really going on in them. So don't rush them there. Even though you understand there's something deeper going on, you have to meet and start with where the child is communicating.
And this is great advice, not just for working with children, but also working with yourself and other adults, because I've had that same experience where I'm not really sure what the challenge is until I start to tap, and then it begins to unravel and I can see what's going on below the surface.
Yes, yes. And people will start to slowly open up if you can meet them where they are and then go deeper in opening with them.
So you mentioned before that our energy impacts the child. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I've worked with parents and working with them in things that had nothing to do with their children, working with them in relationships or with stress about life and physical problems they've been having. And one of the things, and it's really, really common, that they'll tell me is, wow, whenever I've done tapping or the other self-healing tools you've taught me, all of a sudden my kids get better. They're not having night terrors anymore. They're not, you know, bullying other kids and having anger issues at school. They're eating normally and not fighting me. The parents will notice that as they do their inner work without even any prompting or addressing their child directly, the children will resolve. And the reason is, you know, I had this one person I was tapping with, and every time she'd ask her kid to do her homework, she would get bucked. No, no, I'm not going to do it. And she said, Kim, I'd be dragging him up the stairs to his room. She's like, I hate who I am. It's driving me crazy that I'm treating my kid this way, but I just can't get him to do what he needs to do. And when we tapped with her, really just to release her own stress that she's been carrying for decades, she got a totally different response from her child, because they're responding to our tone of voice. And she would tell me, like, his dad will ask him to do his homework and he'll just go ahead and do it. Why won't he do it when I tell him to do it? And it's where we come from. The space we come from is what gets the response that we're given, not the words we say, not the intention we have. So it's really important for kids, for parents, like all of you who are listening, I really, really commend you for participating in the World Tap It Summit. This is something that will absolutely change your life. It's changed my life. It's changed my entire medical practice. And it will change your children's life, the work that you do on yourself. So if you're really stressed and concerned, like, oh my gosh, the doctors are telling me he needs medication, or he's going to always have these problems, just rest assured. I promise you, every single way, every action you take toward your own development, your own personal growth, will absolutely and profoundly affect your child. So you'll see results in your kids without even visiting the issues that your kids are having, simply by removing the obstacles that are keeping you from being fully alive. So that's the first thing I help parents understand. And that, you know, just to relax a little in thinking, I got to fix my kid, I got to change my kid, I got to dress my kid doesn't want to do this. You can let all of that go and simply address the stress that you're having, referent to your child or referent to something else that may be going on in your life.
Amen. I want to stand up and clap for you right now. That was very powerful. Yes. Amen. Great message for all of us. So, Kim, I think it would be really great to take this opportunity to do that tapping. You know, I know that there are literally hundreds of thousands of people that are listening right now, and we all have, you know, we all might have different challenges when it comes to our relationship with our children or what the children in our lives are going through. But can we do some general tapping to get us in that state where we feel calm and centered?
Yeah. Oh, for ourselves?
For ourselves.
Great. Okay. So let's start with the karate chop point, Jessica.
Okay. And everyone that's listening to this, please tap along. I'm tapping and I'll repeat after you.
Okay. So at the karate chop point, I am really worried about my kid.
I am really worried about my kid.
And even though things are really hard for me to manage right now.
And even though things are really hard for me to manage right now.
And I have no idea how I'm going to deal with this.
And I have no idea how I'm going to deal with this.
I'm so scared for my child.
I am so scared for my child.
I'm just going to choose to let my system be calm and at peace.
I'm just going to choose to let my system be calm and at peace.
Even though I have no idea what to do.
even though I have no idea what to do.
And the doctors are telling me he needs medication. And I just don't feel right about that. I'm going to choose to let all of this go now. And be in peace and serenity anyway. Good. And then a third one.
Even though my child has this problem.
And it is breaking my heart. And I don't know how I could ever make it be okay. I'm going to choose to trust this process and let go. Good. Now, inner eye point.
All of these challenges with my kid.
He won't do what I tell him to do. Good. And then under the eye,
And the way that he is behaving.
Under the nose. And all of the stress this has brought to my life. Sometimes I'm really hard on my kid. Because I'm just so scared. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I certainly have a lot of things that I'm dealing with myself. There just doesn't seem to be an answer here. There's too many choices that I'm supposed to make. And I really can't handle this anymore. I love my kid more than anything in the world. And I wish I could just take this on for them. I just want to fix it. And instead, I'm just going to let this go. And trust in the process of bringing my body to peace. Good. And inhale through the nose. And then big exhale.
Thank you for that. Thank you. And I just want to clarify. So with every statement, we should just be switching to the next point as we go through. And Dr. Duramo, for someone who wants to do this tapping themselves, you know, they maybe they just did those few rounds and they can feel a shift and they know it's something that they have to go back to. What advice do you have for a parent if they are concerned whether they're saying the right words as they tap or whether they're doing it right?
Connect in your body. The biggest, and this is really the prime focal point for all of the work that I'm doing, is if you can get into your body, you begin to feel all kinds of things, right? First, you might feel a lot of uncomfortable things, which is why you've bumped yourself out of your body to begin with. But to get in your body and feel your body, feel your feet on the floor, feel your butt in your seat, feel the breath coming into your body. When you're in your body, you can't miss it. You can't miss that, wow, my chest feels fluttery, or wow, my neck is tight. There's some anxiety. And then you can become aware of other things. Wow, I'm actually judging my kid, or I'm really stressed about this, or whatever else might be going on. Your body will speak to you and it literally delivers the script to you. It happens every single time. But you've got to get in your body and begin to feel what's going on. It takes some courage because a lot of this is really uncomfortable. That's why it's a really helpful thing to hire someone to do tapping with you, because they actually hold a space that's bigger, a space of peace that's bigger than what you may have ever created before. So it could just let decades of stuff come flying out. But begin to feel your body and your body will communicate what's up to be released, and kind of in the right order that it needs to go as well. So that's the best piece of advice I have. And whenever you are going to deal with your child or make a decision involving your child, do a little tapping first. So you're coming from a deeper space of peace and certainty instead of a space of urgency and fear.
Yes, because often we think that if we love someone so much, that means we need to worry, that worry is showing love. But it's really the one thing that's stopping us from being able to take a step back and see a situation clearly. You know, we are more resourceful and creative when we are calm and centered.
Which is why people say the whole do as I say, not as I do. Right. Your kids are going to be impacted by your state of being. It's like 99.99% of your communication is from your state of being. If you're anxious, you're teaching your kids to be anxious. If you're worried, you're teaching your kids to be in fear. So if you're trying to help your kid get a more balanced, healthy, fulfilling, successful life, you must deal with yourself first. You must come from a place of self-centeredness. So that can be scary because you feel like, well, if I'm not freaking out, I won't act. If I'm not coming from that urgency, I won't be fast enough or, you know, address this as powerfully as I need to. And that's the fear talking. It isn't true. The more centered and at peace you get, the more proactive you can be in your kid's life, the more impactful, positively impactful you will be with your child. And so the problem, quote unquote problem, they've been dealing with for years or seen by 10 different doctors or treated with, you know, anti-anxiety medication or Adderall, can literally go away in one session. If you can get present enough to bring that sense of peace and certainty into the space with your kid.
And you've seen that happen. And
I've seen that happen so many. Can I share a great story?
Please.
Okay. So I had this, this boy named Brian. He was about six, and his mom, most of the parents who found me, it's been through referral because the other parents will tell their friends when they're dealing with stress, you know, with their kids. So she called me because of someone else that she knew I'd helped her kid. And she said, you know, if this, my kids had all this, stomach ache and nausea, and he's seen all these different doctors. They can't find anything wrong medically. They're putting him on all these medications to help his stomach, but it's really not making a difference. He gets really scared with social events. And last week we went to a baseball game, and he's curled up in the backseat of the car screaming, refusing to get out of the car. So, and that's hard to see your kids screaming, curled up in the back of the car, and you're going to a baseball game, like a pro game, to watch a fun game with your family. And this mom was really at her wit's end. She just didn't know what to do. So I got the history. And what happened was, a year prior, he was playing baseball, and for whatever reason, he vomited on his uniform, whether he was nervous about the game or just ate some bad eggs, who knows. But he, as in his own words, I lost it on my uniform. And you know, the doctors, after this, he began to get a lot of anxiety around going to baseball, a lot of trepidation about his games, and the social events that she was telling me about with other kids and parties, they were all around baseball games. It was the end of the year baseball party. It was this baseball, pro baseball game they were going to look at. And so she was confused because she hadn't put that together. He could go to basketball practice. He's totally fine. He could go to other parties at school. He's completely fine. So it was very on and off, and no one had been able to really put this all together. So we really cored it down to this one incident that had happened. And when he was at the game, his dad was there at that game. So boys, they have a different kind of relationship with their dad than they have with their mom. And it tends to be, I got to hold it together and be tough and perform well and be strong and achieve so my dad will be proud of me. And so the dad, not really knowing how to manage this, was upset. You know, what's wrong? Come on, let's get this off you. Get back out there. And what the kid really needed was a little nurturance and kind of to hide a little bit and get some protection so people didn't see this vomit that was all over his shirt. He was incredibly, incredibly embarrassed. So to get back out there made him ashamed and made him feel even worse. So we got some of this history, and he didn't tell me he felt ashamed. He didn't tell me how much this incident had impacted his life. So what we did was we began tapping with what we did have. And I'm going to start the tapping process with you as we did it with Brian. And then we'll talk about what uncovered during the tapping.
Okay.
Okay.
I would love that.
All right. So we're going to start with Brian and on the karate chop point. Even though my belly hurts.
Even though my belly hurts.
And I don't want to go to baseball.
And I don't want to go to baseball.
I'm just going to choose to release all of this now.
I'm just going to choose to release all of this now.
Even though I lost it all over my uniform.
Even though I lost it all over my uniform.
And now my stomach is always hurting.
And now my stomach is always hurting.
I'm just going to decide that everything is perfectly okay.
I'm just going to decide that everything is perfectly okay.
Even though my stomach feels funny.
Even though my stomach feels funny.
And feels fluttery.
and feels fluttery.
And those were his words that he'd given to me, so I kind of write those down. I'm just going to relax in my body now.
I'm just going to relax in my body now.
Good. And then we do the first round at the inner eye. This pain in my stomach.
This pain in my stomach.
And then the outer eye. My stomach feels so fluttery.
My stomach feels so fluttery.
Under the eye, especially when I go to baseball.
Especially when I go to baseball.
Under the nose, and I lost it all over my uniform.
And I lost it all over my uniform.
On the chin, and it wasn't funny.
And it wasn't funny.
On the collarbone, I don't know why that happened.
I don't know why that happened.
Under the arm, and I don't know if it's going to happen again.
And I don't know if it's going to happen again.
On the top of the head, I really hope this doesn't happen again.
I really hope this doesn't happen again.
Good. And just inhale. And then exhale. Now, with an adult, I might do a couple rounds of that. But with kids, the shifts happen really, really quickly. So I'll say, how did that feel? Or I say, you know, what did you think about when we did that? And a lot of times they'll say, yeah, you know, and I remember that I felt really embarrassed, or yeah, I don't want to go to baseball. Because in the tapping, I'll suggest a little, like I'll take a step beyond what they've given me. So the part about, I don't want to go back, I'm afraid that will happen again, that's like 2 degrees beyond what he actually stated. So mm-hmm. I can take that one step on my own and he'll go there and say, I hope that doesn't happen again. So now that he's released and acknowledged and felt that I hope that doesn't happen again, he may be willing to say, yeah, that felt bad. So we can get a little bit more into the emotion. Yeah. What did it feel like? It must've been kind of embarrassing. And he could say, yeah. So for a kid to say, it was really embarrassing, that's very unlikely to happen. But if I say, wow, that must have felt embarrassing, and then the kid can say, yeah, that's all they're going to give you. But you're bringing them there slowly, and they are going deeper into their experience, the experience that they wanted to avoid like anything. They just want to get the heck out of there, which is why the body's contracted. So we're going to bring them into the experience. So in round two, let's go a little deeper. So okay. Inner eye. I don't like the way it feels when I'm scared about losing it.
I don't like the way it feels when I'm scared about losing it.
Outer eye, I'm afraid that might happen again.
I'm afraid that might happen again.
And I really did not like that.
And I really did not like that.
Good. Under the nose, all the other kids were looking at me.
All the other kids were looking at me.
On the chin, I do not want them to see me like that.
I do not want them to see me like that.
Under the collarbone, and I still remember what happened that day.
And I still remember what happened that day.
It was awful.
It was awful.
So embarrassing, top of the head.
So embarrassing.
Good. Inner eye, it felt really bad.
It felt really bad.
And now my stomach is always in knots.
And now my stomach is always in knots.
I don't want to feel that again.
I don't want to feel that again.
So sometimes under the nose, so sometimes I don't want to go to baseball.
So sometimes I don't want to go to baseball.
On the chin, and my stomach feels that.
And my stomach feels that.
Under the collarbone, I wonder if I could just let all of this go.
I wonder if I could just let all of this go.
Under the arm, and tell my body that everything is okay now.
And tell my body that everything is okay now.
On top of the head. Maybe that was just a fluke thing.
Maybe that was just a fluke thing.
Inner eye. And my body's working exactly as it's supposed to.
And my body's working exactly as it's supposed to.
Outer eye. It hasn't happened since then.
It hasn't happened since then.
Under the eye. And maybe I could just let it go now.
Maybe I can just let it go now.
Under the nose, I bet other people thought it was funny.
I bet other people thought it was funny.
On the chin, and maybe it was a little funny.
And maybe it was a little funny.
On the collarbone, but mostly I just felt embarrassed.
But mostly I just felt embarrassed.
Under the arm, and that is perfectly okay.
And that is perfectly okay.
On the top of the head, that's how I'm supposed to feel.
That's how I'm supposed to feel.
Inhale. And exhale.
That didn't even happen to me, and I feel so relaxed after that tapping.
Just go into a place where we can honor our bodily functions. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not something even adults want to talk about. You know, if people tell me all the time, oh, I have this problem and I have diarrhea and it's really embarrassing. Well, we get embarrassed by normal bodily functions, like your body's flushing something out. It's you're right. supposed to have diarrhea. So kids are the same way. They pick up on our training. We train them that this is embarrassing. Right. Bodily functions are embarrassing. Sex is bad. You don't talk about money. All of the things we've adopted in our society. Kids, like I said, are very good learners. So they're going to feel it even more powerfully.
Well, I have two questions before you tell us how this story ends. Two questions about the tapping itself. So when you're tapping with a child and you start with the setup statement, you know, a lot of adults go to the traditional statement, which is even though I have this problem, I love and accept myself, or I deeply and completely love and accept myself. I'm sure for a child, they might not really be able to interpret what that actually even means. So what do you do with this? How can we craft a setup statement for our own children?
Yeah, any statement that brings you back to a neutral, like I choose to let this go now, or I choose to feel good in my body, or I choose to not have stomach pain anymore. Anything that is a reversal is going to work because you're giving information into the brain, you're giving new information into the nervous system that all of this is just fine. Right. So any statement that says that is gonna work.
And my second question, when you're going through the tapping rounds, you start with first allowing the child to have a voice to what happened, to explain how they feel. And then I notice you move on to some more positive things at the end. When we're tapping with a child, when do we know that we should move from where they are to where we're leading them?
Okay, that's a great question. And I'm going to just tell you the more advanced way of doing this, because that's the way I teach my patients to do this. You have to feel your body in order to know what's going on with the other. And if you're tapping and you are connected and feeling your own body, you will always feel how it resonates. Like when I started to say, oh, maybe it was funny, you will feel like, whoa, no, it's not. You'll feel that that doesn't vibe. Like you're not in the vibrant. The kid isn't at that level of like, hey, it's kind of funny. Maybe the kid's not there. So you will feel them if you're in your body and you're present. So your own sort of thoughts will communicate that to you. Like, well, that didn't go in. That didn't land very well. If you're really present. So you got to breathe. You got to feel your feet on the floor. You got to feel your butt in the seat. You have to be willing to experience what's really going on. And the number one reason in my experience of expertise and years of practicing medicine, why chronic illness is so prevalent is because people are not in their bodies experiencing their life.
Right.
So it doesn't feel good in the beginning. It doesn't feel good to feel those feelings of my kid's not okay. But I'm going to encourage you to show up anyway, to breathe your body and to release those. Because if you're in your body, you're inviting your kid to be in their body.
Yes.
So that's the best. I mean, we could probably break it down in a little bit more of a simple way to do it. But I'm going to give you that advanced version because I don't think a lot of people train us to do that well. And it's the most important thing that I can do with any of my patients. It's the most important thing that you can do with your child.
Yes, I love that. So I want to talk a bit more in a moment about physical ailments, but tell us the rest of the story. So what happened?
Okay, so I 100% of the time will tap with the parent as well, because the parent is just as fired up about this and it's a shared experience. So what mom was telling me was a lot about the child's relationship with their dad. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure to perform and to be a great athlete. And then there's this history that the dad has with his own father being, really strict and not very loving and kind and warm and fuzzy, right? So there's a lot of pressure on him to succeed and to be a success. And so the father was carrying all of these issues. Obviously, the son is feeling them in his body, right? Because kids want to live in a natural state. They do not want to be robotic and just show up to perform to make you happy. And that's why it'll show up physically. But I'm not tapping with dad, right? If I were tapping with dad, we could go into a whole different thing. I can only help the expansion happen in the person who's showing up. And I want to just tell you this too. The only thing that needs to change is in the person who's showing up. So if you treat yourself, I guarantee you, you will create shift or allow a huge shift in your partner. So I tapped with mom, right? Because how is she feeling about the fact that dad is really anxious and really putting a lot of pressure on the kid and has his own issues? So we tapped on her vantage point. I don't like seeing my child suffer. I don't like the way his father's treating him. I don't know what to do. And what it came down to was I'm powerless to help my child. And you could feel it. Like, I was on the phone with her, but you can feel the powerlessness. Wow. When my husband behaves this way to the child, she can see the deeper underlying relationship of the child's fear of wanting to please the dad and of the dad's fear. And so he puts the pressure on his kid. But like I said, I'm not tapping with dad. I can help mom stay in a state of expansion around this issue. And so we tapped on that. You know, I feel completely powerless. Just, I want to save my kid from his father, and I can't save my kid from his father. And I think everyone can relate to that on some level, because we all have partners who are imperfect, and we all want our child to have a perfect life. So we released that, and she cried. It was only 7 minutes at the end of the session, and she released so much tension she had been holding. And when we hold tension, we keep others in their patterns of contraction, right? We keep others in their small
especially
self.
Especially our children.
Yeah. Especially our kids. So she released a ton of energy around this and, you know, and was standing in a space at the end of the tapping. I'm empowered to allow, you know, my husband to be in his fullest self. I'm empowered to stand strongly so my kid knows he's okay. And that's all she needed. And that made a huge difference in the environment that this child was in. So I always, always tap with the parent if I'm even have any hope of helping a child.
Right. Well, I want to move to talk.
Oh, and the kid did great. So
yeah.
No further, zero further need for medication, zero further upset stomach. And he's participating in baseball 100% and enjoying it. 100% better.
Well, that's an incredible story that shows the way that tapping can help social challenges. So that fear of baseball and being with all those people, as well as the physical ailments, and how interconnected all of these things are.
Yeah. And that result is typical. I want people to be really be encouraged by that. Very, very typically, the kids will be 100% better and not have any need for any medication whatsoever.
What would you say to a parent who's listening to this and they're beginning to panic even more because they're beginning to reflect on themselves and see how their energy could have been impacting their child, and they begin to feel really guilty?
I would say good for you. You have taken the first step in the warrior's journey, and that's looking at yourself and becoming aware. So, A, do it without judgment. The more judgment you have on yourself, the less you will see and the less you'll be able to help anybody. So bravo, feel all of that crap that you're feeling and do it from a space of self-love and non-judgment, which is really, Jessica, what your work is about. It's about, even though I am so ashamed of myself, I've been the worst parent in the world, I choose. That takes courage. You're a warrior. I'm going to choose that it's actually all okay. This is your first step in awakening. So go gently with yourself. So that's number two. Go gently forward. Your body will continue to open up more crap that you've been up to and wrecking havoc on your life, but it's for the purpose of transforming your world, transforming everyone around you. So be courageous and be so proud of yourself every time you see these lower level behaviors or this stuff that you've been up to. We have all been doing it.
We've all been there. And yes, we need to bring in a lot of compassion and forgiveness. The same way we want our children to feel that way, we need to show ourselves our own kindness. So let's move on. Oh, there's so much I want to still talk about. Okay. So you shared a great story that covered social challenges and physical ailments. Let's take a moment now to talk about behavioral challenges. We have a lot of parents that are struggling because their child is having a hard time in school.
This is really challenging because, and I have a lot of information in the workbook for people to go through this and scripts to go through this a lot more in depth. But yeah, kids can have social challenges and fear, anxiety. They can have physical ailments and stuff that I just talked about. And then the third category that they'll present with that's really amenable to tapping is behavioral challenges or anger withdrawal kind of behaviors where the kid's like, just get away from me. And they shut down and they don't want any help and they don't want you to come near them. And you're like, what am I going to do? A lot of times here, we kind of go into playing the innocent. Well, I'm trying the best I can. And I'm not, you know, trying not to trigger my child. And it's easy to go into the innocent, but it's also a space of powerlessness. So I want parents to begin to see that you need to get your kids' trust because they're angry about something and it might be something that has nothing to do with you and that you think is completely ridiculous. And it might be something you can't even identify. Like, why is this kid so angry? I have a good friend who's constantly dealing with one of her children who's constantly angry, withdrawn, shut down. And this particular person had that child when she was very young. She wasn't married. She wasn't really sure how her life was going to go or what she was going to do. And she was embarrassed and ashamed because she grew up in a time when that really was not okay. So the second child, you know, she's married and they have this family and wonderful dad, and they had the second child together. And when she talks about her kids, you can feel her putting all of her own stuff on her kids. So she'll talk about the second child who's, she's so wonderful and she's such a love and she's such a special kid. And I don't know what's going on with my other daughter. She just got such a problem. Well, I want to invite you to begin to open to, no matter how irrational and how inappropriate, right? Because our kids can, especially with the angry withdrawal, they can do so many cruel and manipulative and inappropriate things, to begin to see them in a different light. It's hard to do, but can you meet your kids' anger and just allow them to be angry? Because your child wants nothing more than to open into wholeness and to release all this tension that they've been carrying. So even if you don't know what this is about, tap yourself out first and clear yourself, right? Like, I forgive myself for any way I may have participated in this. I choose to be at total peace that this is what I am dealing with, and stop trying to wish it were otherwise, because that's another way we kind of shut our kids down, by making it not okay that they are the way they are. And clear yourself before you approach your kid, so that you really can approach your kid not from a space of what the heck is your problem, but from a space of, okay, let's look at this together. I really am with you. And you can't meet the space because your kids feel you. It's not your words. It's your inner state of being. They feel you and they're looking and they're like, is she telling the truth here? Is she really okay if I let her know what's really going on? Because this stuff is heavy and she can't handle it. That's the space they're coming from. And the truth is, they're right. You've never dealt with this, your stuff, to the degree that you have right now today. And bravo for participating in a program like this. This is one of the most expansive programs on the planet for awakening. It is inevitable that you will be able to hold a space for hearing, really, really hearing what your kid's dealing with, and allow them to open from those states of anger.
Do you have a story that you could share with us about how tapping has helped someone who has behavioral challenges and anger or withdrawal?
I do. I have this one child named Stacy, and I was dealing with her because I knew her mother and she kind of had an idea of what I was doing in my work. Well, actually, she had no idea what I was doing in my work, but she knew I was helping people in very unconventional ways. And she'd been taking her child to a psychologist over and over and over. And over the years of dealing with this, they now suggested medication. And for her, that was the trigger that went off in her mind, like, whoa, this is really serious. I don't want to put my kid on medication. They kept thinking she'll grow out of it. The child, Stacy, didn't want to go to events at school, would kick and scream, I'm not going, didn't want to get out of the car when she'd get dropped off at school, would withdraw from the parents at home and not really communicate, you know, when she wanted to get up from the table. That was that. And the parents just kind of organized themselves around these outbursts to try to create some peace for the other children. So when I started working with her, there was a lot of anger. And in her experience, there was a lot of stuff that had happened that was really not okay. And for the parents, you know, those are just very subtle things. It could be, you know, her second sibling was born and she was, you know, a very young age, but not happy about that. Now, she didn't know that. She didn't know why she was so angry. But we started tapping with her, and it was like, you know, I'm not getting the attention I need from my parents. They love my sister more than me. Very irrational, right, to a parent. Of course, I don't love this child more than you. But these things had impacted her, the way that she saw them treat the other child, and an experience where they brought the sister to an event with family friends because the family had a child the sister's age, and they left the other child at home with a babysitter. Well, that was not okay with this kid.
Right.
And she didn't, you know, these experiences came up during the tapping. Oh yeah, well, there's this one time. They will not come up immediately. Hey, why are you so upset? Well, this thing that happened when I was six, that's not how it's gonna go. You're gonna just tap on the anger. I'm so angry with my parents. My parents are total losers. You're not going to necessarily be able to do this on your own with the child. But if you are centered enough, you absolutely can. If you can handle hearing some stuff about yourself that you're not going to necessarily, it's not going to paint a great picture about you. What I want to tell you is it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean you're a bad parent. It doesn't mean anything. It means this is this kid's perspective in one moment of time. And when they shift, they will see you and everything else differently. So I worked with this child. She didn't go on medications, thankfully. I'm really thankful for that, because the medications that kids are typically put on for this impair maturity, impair development, impair their emotional maturity. So I've seen a lot of problems with drugs and addiction and things like that stem from these kinds of medications. And she began to communicate in a more open way with her family. So from that communication, just that ability to feel, I deserve a space in this family and I am seen and loved in my anger, she would open up and communicate. So it was a two-part, working with the child and working with the parents to begin to create a new dynamic of relating.
It's so powerful.
It is so powerful. There are a lot of doctors dealing with kids like this, and they really don't, they don't come to the World Tapping Summit and know. I'm creating some change in that. I'm bringing tapping to physicians. I've been teaching hundreds of physicians so far, but typically doctors don't know what resources really are out there. So you can bring these to the forum for your child.
Right. So what's so great about tapping is, with just a few minutes, you even mentioned a few times that you just tapped for like 7 minutes and you experienced a shift. But I can imagine that sometimes it does take longer. It does take some consistency. So what advice do you have for a parent who, you know, now has decided, okay, I really want to incorporate this in my life. I want to help my child. How do they structure it in a way where they can get the results and be consistent?
That's a great question. You want to make a routine where you tap together with your kid, and you could do it every night before bedtime. You could do it 3 times a week before bedtime. Whatever you decide is a fit for you, you want to make it a regular commitment. Like, okay, let's do this. I care about you. I care about myself, because you really are going to have to go there yourself. This is not about fixing your kid or a problem with your kid. Our kids are really a reflection of us, so we can bring out the best in them or not. So you're going to be willing to own that with your child and go through this journey together as you both grow and you both expand and you both uncover the source of this challenge. So make a regularly scheduled program. I had one patient, and I made an audio for them to do the tapping together every night before they went to sleep. The kid was having a lot of tics and a lot of social anxiety, and he did incredibly, incredibly well, because kids, they love to use the tapping. He started to use it on his own. So one of the children I saw had a lot of social anxiety and would have to call her mom, pick me up. I can't stay at the party. She now began using tapping on her own in a really creative way. She'd elicit the support of her friend. They'd go into the bathroom together at the party and they'd tap, and then she'd go out and enjoy the party and she wouldn't have to leave. So make a regular routine with your child where you're there for them. You give them your undivided attention. That is the number one most important remedy prescription that I could tell a parent to give for their child. They thrive on your attention. So make a regular tapping routine before you go to bed is great. And also first thing in the morning before you start your day is amazing, because you're going to get your kid in that inspired state, knowing they're empowered, knowing they can be and do the things that they want to be and get out into the world and experience their day from that state. So right before breakfast or before heading out the door or on the way to drive to school in the car, use that time for tapping. Hey, what's the greatest challenge coming up with you right now? All right, let's all tap on that. And you just do one or two rounds of tapping. You breathe in, you breathe out, and then do an empowered round. We're going to have an awesome day today. I can be and do everything that I want to be in this world and make it happen in my day. And empower your kids. Get them fired up before they get out of the car and go and face the world, because everything you're doing for them is what really matters.
So powerful. And it only takes a few minutes, which is so great.
Yeah.
Dr. Duramo, I just want to thank you, not just for this incredible time together and everything that we've learned, but also for the work that you continue to do. I know that you're working with a lot of different doctors. You're spreading this knowledge and you're bringing this out to the world. And so I know that you're not just making a difference in the lives of those who are listening, but also so many other people out there, so many other leaders in this field. So thank you so much for all you do. And thank you so much for being part of the Tapping World Summit. This was such a joy.
It's such an honor. It's such an honor. Thank you so much, Jessica. I love you. I love Nick. I love what you guys are doing. I am 100% behind you in any way I can be of support to you or to your listeners. And, you know, I'm excited for what you're doing in the world and how this is opening massive possibility for so many people.
Well, we sure have an incredible community, and it's just the beginning. So once again, thanks so much.
Okay, bye.